podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
This Walsh.
Euros, dude. We're here.
Yeah, this is really exciting.
I know. It's hot out. It's summer. It's Euros. It starts Friday.
Starts in 4 days. And everyone that's listening to this right now just listen to the theme music, which is so good.
And they're just so hyped.
Been my ringtone since 2016. It's been my ringtone for fucking 8 years.
Producer Nate made the track.
It's just great.
I like the idea of everyone like blasting the theme in the car, and then my okay is like five times as loud, and they're just like, oh my god, yeah. blow the eardrums out.
Remember the fucking, what was that pot? I think it was Totally Football when they had that amazing, also amazing theme with the Russian guy.
Oh, remember the Russian chess commentator guy?
Yeah.
Oh,
that was so good.
I forgot how good that. Wow, I might have to resubscribe to Totally Football just in case they're doing something that good for you.
I haven't listened to a Totally Football in like 3 years. Yeah, maybe. I might have to do
that's
this.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Dude, the chess guy. That must have been World Cup because it was Russia World Cup.
It was World Cup.
So it was 2018.
It was World Cup. Yeah.
Dude, what did he say again? Can you remember?
I think he was like, it's unbelievable or something. He's like,
it was someone. I love also that it was someone missing checkmate or something. It was like, he missed, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
I'll put that link in the show notes. Also in the show notes, our league code for the Euros League.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone should get in there.
How are we doing on that, by the way? Are people in there?
Haven't checked. I mean, it's only been in Discord, so like this is like the first public announcement of it.
Put it on the Twitter thing.
Yeah, I'll post it everywhere. I'll put it in the show notes as well. Walsh and I are sharing a team for those who haven't listened to the podcast during an international tournament. That's what we always do. Co-owning, sharing a team.
It's websites. There's only fucking 59 people. Holy shit, that's disgusting. That's very embarrassing.
I'll make some bots out there.
Yeah, we need bots.
Make some new Gmail accounts.
Yeah.
Get in there.
All right.
So here we are. FPL's long gone.
Thank God.
Let's talk about... A lot of people don't play Fantasy Champions League and have never played World Cup or Euros or anything like that. So
disgusting. Also very disgusting.
It's disgusting, but it's exciting because they're about to.
We're going to farm them.
Yeah, because we're going to smurf on them and just go ham. But there are some notable differences between FPL Fantasy Euros. First of all, they call their game weeks match days, which I find very confusing, but I'm just going with it. So each match day deadline is kickoff of the first match, as opposed to FPL being an hour and a half before the first match. And then, most importantly, on every day in the week, there's another deadline at the kickoff of the first match of each day, and you can make substitutions and or switch your captain to someone who hasn't played yet. So, for example, in match day one, there's only one match on Friday, Turkey and Italy. You can captain anyone in that match, start anyone in that match. And then on Saturday, the first match is Wales-Switzerland. Up until kickoff of Wales-Switzerland, you can change your captain to anyone on your team who hasn't played, and you can sub in or out guys. For, you know, you can sub out your Turkey Italy guys, you can sub in different guys, all that shit. So the only thing is you can't sub them back in. So if you sub out, you know, a 3-pointer and the guy you bring in gets a 1-pointer, you're fucked. You get a 1-pointer. You lost 2 points. Very important though. And that's the way Champions League works, and that's the way World Cup work too. So I think that's the most important change, right? Because it changes the entire squad of your team. Like you have a 15 player squad. Everyone should be a starter in your team because of the substitutions. And then you also want multiple captaincy options throughout every week. So yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. Well, it's not really multiple. You want one for every day. You need four or five. You need a lot. Yeah. So that the most important thing when you're budgeting your team and looking at it is that, you know, you're obviously not going to be capping like four or five defenders. So pretty much every big hitter you have should be a singular big hitter on a captainable match day where they're not conflicting with someone else. So, you know, that's something that you should just use to kind of guide yourself there. Yeah. And did you talk about the scoring?
I didn't talk about the scoring. I was just going to also add, like, obviously you can't afford five big hitters for five different captains, but your two or three big hitters should be on different days. And then on the other days, you should have reasonable captaincy. Like you said, like, shouldn't be a 4-0 guy who may or may not start, or like a keeper who you're not even sure is nailed or something like that. Like, you want a guy who's starting who could do something, but, you know, even if they're not the best.
Yeah.
What about the
other aspect with the scoring is there's no bonus, you know, where you used to feel there's no bonus points.
Yes! No bonus.
Yeah. And there's historically been recovered ball points, but there are none of those. So basically there's, you know, it's similar to Champions League scoring. You got like 2 points, whatever. You can look at the fucking rules. We're not going to say every goddamn thing about it. But the main takeaway to me with the scoring is that hits are just, you should, under absolutely no circumstance, take a hit ever, because this is like the lowest scoring game that I've ever played.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, even in Champions League, like, taking hits is really bad, but squad based, like, your match day scores aren't going to be too high in general. And if you're throwing 4 points away, you're just going to be having a really hard time. So even if we'll talk more about it as we get into the round of 16 and shit and court, but, you know, taking hits is just really, really bad. So, you know, we have a lot of chips, but I think that's one main thing to me that is important.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, it's not only that the scoring is lower, it's also the game is so short. This is a 7-game week fantasy as opposed to 38. You know, you can hit in a guy in FPL and have him for 10 game weeks and it's great, but you never get that value in this, especially because obviously you can make unlimited transfers before match day one. You also automatically get another wild card before the knockout round, so match day 4.
Yep.
And you have a wild card that you can use anytime, and you have essentially a free hit they call limitless wild card that you can use anytime. Only difference between free hit and limitless is unlimited budget also. So you can get 50 premiums or whatever and you're good to go.
All right, so that's good there. I think that's again it. You know, there's the transfers, you got a few here, a few there, you know, take a look at the rules.
The rules
are not long and they actually explain the rules, so if you really are like fish out of water after what we just said, then just go through that.
And so
where do you want to go?
I want to talk about the chips, because it's funny because we always avoid talking about the chips in FPL, but
yeah, it's the most important thing in this game for sure, by a lot.
There's two chips, and, you know, the two periods of time where you get unlimited transfers given by the game, and there's 7 game weeks. So there's essentially 5 game weeks to use two chips. There's also, obviously, as when it gets to the knockout rounds, teams get eliminated. So that's a danger factor in when to use your chips. I think, you know, the chalk in these kind of games is to use your wild card maybe in like the quarterfinals when the most amount of teams get eliminated, you know, when it goes from 16 to 8.
Yeah, it's because viable.
It's viable. I think that's like the safe, vanilla, chalky move to make, because the most players get eliminated, you won't get fucked. Because there's a chance with two upsets that, you know, you have many non-playing players when it gets to the quarterfinals in your team.
Yeah.
And then it's a disaster and we don't want to take hits. So I think that's like the normal way, but it's a lot deeper than that, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, the biggest theory thing from this to me is that even if you have 11 players going into the semifinals, right? Instead of having 15 where you could switch, you know, rotate a couple out. As you see, like the Champions League final, right? We make our teams. It's one game. We have five defenders on this team, four attackers. Like, it's like you're lucky to get three returns from your team.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's just the points potential in the beginning match days when you have the 15 players, when you have all the rotating caps, when you have, like, really dog shit teams in there. Like, that's where you want to try and use your chips to get ahead. And I think if, you know, you're going to have to, you know, make a few decent calls when it comes into the quarters and the semis. If you do the strategy and, you know, not load up on a team that gets eliminated, like, and you have nine or eight players, then you're a little bit fucked. But I think you just kind of back yourself there and hope that the chips kind of work out in the beginning. Cause, you know, I think that for us, like, I'm very strongly in favor of using a chip for every day in the first three. I think that just
the first one doesn't count. We make unlimited transfer, but you're saying use one and two, use one and three.
Right.
You get the free wild card in four, and then we're chipless. Five, and then
And then we just figure it out. Because I just feel like, you know, those are the times when you can really get like an 85 or a 90 point game week. And, you know, when we get to the quarters and the semis, you know, whether you have, you know, 11 or 14, you know, we're still all going to be in like the 40s or 50s or whatever. Like, you know, maybe you hit the captains, but everyone kind of clumps together as the tournament goes on. And, you know, when you see a lot of people that don't, you know about kind of how short it is, what the chips are, or the strategy, you know, and people are building their team for like the whole group stage, and they're sitting there with like Germany players when they play France or, other players are like, you know, they have a bunch of Portugal players, which is good for Hungary, but they don't want to use a chip, so then it's bad or whatever, you know, and things like that. Even England, you know, I don't think Croatia is a good fixture, you know.
Yep.
There are just ways, Italy and Turkey, that's a really tough one to call, you know. If you're planning for the group, you want representation for both teams, but not when they're playing each other. You want them when they're other. So it's that kind of thing. And I feel like that is the best way to play it.
Yeah, it's an emphasis on the shortness of the game. Again, it's just that's what it really is. It's trying to use what we have, because we're swinging for the fences. That's how we both play all fantasies. Like, we're not trying to, it's way, way safer to save your wild card for the quarterfinals. Way safer. Because you get a wild card in match day four. Some teams are going to get eliminated. You wild card in. You're fine. Because you get like five free transfers for the semifinals. Five free transfers for the finals. There's really like no risk. But the upside is very limited. I pretty much agree with that. And I'm totally fine with that strategy. I mean, you either use both chips in groups, or you at least use one chip in group and wild card in five.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're at least using Limitless. I can't really reason saving Limitless for later in the tournament, because I don't know.
Only thing about that is good about later in the tournament is that the players on the good teams are a fucking fortune.
Yeah.
So it's hard if, you know, say it is France and just some other team, like and England or something.
Oh,
if you don't have Limitless,
like
if you don't have Limitless or something for like the semis or even the final, like it's good to even say for the final sometimes, just so you could stack your 11, you know, because you could easily have like a 120 budget, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But it's still, I mean, again, like going back, the Champions League final just happened, right? Like, you have like the whole, you know, you say you have like seven or eight of the City players, they cost $1 billion and they score a fucking goal and you're just like, wow, that was bad.
Yeah, that's, you know, that kind of thing. That's really important too, because it's like round of 16, we all get a wild card. There's definitely exploitable games. Like, there's going to be some teams that are bad playing against France, whatever.
Right.
Quarterfinals, just looking back in 2016, there was France-Iceland. In 2012, there was one. It was Germany-Greece.
Yeah, a lot of one-ones.
Like, yeah, in World Cup, it was England-Sweden, France-Uruguay. Like, that's ones, it. One-ones. That's it. Those are the only fixtures that you would have, like, heavily exploited with your wild card and stacked on.
Right,
whereas
in
the group stage, actually every day, there's multiple fixtures that you stack on. Yeah. So, I'm with you.
Let's roll from here. I think that's a good job by us.
Are you leaning Chalks. Towards a specific day for your Limitless? Because I think they're both great, and I guess it doesn't matter, right?
I don't think it matters. I think what we would want to figure out is, I mean, I haven't gone this deep yet, but looking at match day 2 and 3, like which, because like France, like the players are a fortune. So like if we want to go heavy, like whenever France play Hungary.
Match day 2, they play Hungary. I think
yeah, that's, so like if we want to do like Mbappe, Benz, and you know a 6 million defense, like that already is like, well, maybe we want to do Limitless there.
Yeah.
But I think when we tinker, we'll tinker and see like, well, is this, can we get 100 million team or do we need like 107? And then we'll just do that. And if not, because you know, it's always going to be fine too.
I was also going to say that. So, because there's a small percent chance. I mean, what's more likely? We limitless in 2 and we're good with our match day 1 team plus 2 free transfers in 3. Or we wildcard in 2 and we're good with our match day 2 wildcard team and 2 frees in 3.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm just like.
Yeah, no, I
open-ended actual, question. We're going to pod again on Thursday, Patreon pod, when we're more settled and stuff and talk about specifically our team. So we'll get there.
I don't think that you can really plan for that, because the main thing is that also with this is, you know, the first 3 match days happen very quickly.
Yeah.
Teams are going to be on 6 points going to the 3rd day.
That's a huge factor.
With it locked. So we can't, you know, you could look at it, you know, and tilt your head sideways and be like, well, I think that this team's going to be on 6, but doing that now is just a fucking piss take. So, you know, I think it's just your it's up to the gods about, you know, what you had first game week or second game week. And, you know, you see who has competitive games and shit in game week 3. But, you know, that's another thing, right, that we didn't mention earlier is it makes it even more challenging when you don't use a chip for that 3rd match day is, you know, if you're looking at, you have 3 Belgian players that are on 6 points going to game week 3.
Yeah.
You have 2 England players that are on 6 points going into game week 3. Like Netherlands are on 6 points going into game week 3. You know, you could easily be looking at your,
France and Italy last Euros played like 80% backups in match day 3. They're both on 6.
So like, if anything, if you do want to save a chip, like game week 3 or match day 3 is like definitely the best compared to game week 2 because of those reasons.
If you're saving,
if you're saving one, you know, that is important.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of France, we got some questions about France and basically just
we're going into it now.
I think we should just go to some questions and then talk about whatever we want to talk about. I mean, I'm going to be upfront. I am not done researching and I will continue to do research through till probably when we're texting on like Friday morning, finalizing our team. Like it's never going to end. It's just madness. The madness has begun. Joquist and Mug are basically asking about France. Joquist said, are we overlooking France? And Mug is saying, what is the play with France? Because they're so expensive and the fixtures are so bad. And then Turhall also said, is it worth completely ignoring the group of death, mostly just because it's easier? So it's France, Germany, Portugal, Hungary, group F. It's a disaster. I mean, they all have horrible fixtures. There's no other way to put it.
Well, they all have one great fixture when they play Hungary. So that's one thing to note.
I have like slight hesitation as like how great it is, even that.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to be like 4-0s. There isn't any such fixture really in the game, right? I mean, these are very intense like games, all of them.
There's a few where I'm like, I feel like it could be, you know, like more.
But like last Euros, there are barely any games where they were like a blowout.
Yeah, there were
just like don't really happen in international football, tournament football like this when there's everything's on the line. Yeah. It's just a lot cagier. But
I'm also putting a lot of stock into home games. I just think that matters a lot. And like,
so talk about that because we didn't touch on that.
Well,
what is the home?
Just
mention it.
There's a bunch of different venues. I actually think it's really cool, but it's also really unfair for some teams. There's a lot of different venues, and some teams are flying across all of fucking Europe and Asia, and you know, 9-hour flights back and forth between their matches. And some teams, like Spain, just have 3 matches in Seville. And Italy just have 3 matches in Rome. And Netherlands just have 3 matches in Amsterdam. And it's like kind of insane. But
it's pretty good.
I mean, it's good for them. Yeah. I mean, whatever they like paid to Platini or whoever the head guy is now. And Hungary are one of the team. I think they're actually the only stadium, the one in Budapest, where it's max capacity. And they have Portugal and France at home in Budapest. And I'm just like, those are going to be fucking crazy. You know, those are the weird Champions League group stage games where like Liverpool lose 2-0 to Red Star because it's just like fucking crazy. Yeah. And it's just like, I just have that vibe. I'm just like, it's going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely, it's going to be turnt, as they say, in those games. But, you know, you still look at the players on the field and it's like, okay, how much can the racist in the stands, you know, really impact the proceedings?
How many cigarettes can they smoke in the stands that negatively affects, like, Conte's lungs?
You know, I don't know about that, but I think, you know, it's something to note, definitely, especially after we just spent a full year, like, watching training ground games when that's kind of like a foreign idea. But I think bigger than that is more of like the Italy when they're like, oh, all these home games and Netherlands where it's just all these home games where, you know, it should just be even that much more of like a walk, you know?
Yeah, it should be. It should be. So, yeah, on the group of
it's
death,
interesting,
I mean,
though. It's interesting.
It is interesting.
And it's also, you have to also look at like where the games are located because like, even though it says home, it's, like, not actual home,
No,
right?
They're
like,
not listed in the right order. They're,
and they're not, they don't say, like, the location. It's just, like, kind of, it's just fucking weird. I don't know. Like, some of them are neutral, right? Where they're not, neither, and they still say home for some.
A lot are
dumb.
Neutral. But it's just, like Spain, for example. To me, theirs is the most egregious. It's just, they play three matches in Seville. And the other, each group has two venues, basically. The other venue for their group is St. Petersburg. It's a 9-hour flight.
Yeah. They don't need to do, they don't have to bother.
Poland, Sweden, and Slovakia are flying back and forth from Seville and St. Petersburg. And they're just literally home. Yeah. They just sit at home and train at home and fuck their wives.
That's why you have, well, and, anti-side piece, though, narrative, that might be bad for them.
Okay, good call.
Okay.
Lesson learned. Postcock.
Okay.
But, so what's your thinking with the group of death? I mean, it's fucking...
So I came around a little bit more on it because I do agree with you that I feel like Hungary are a little bit... You know, everyone's sort of just putting them in that category because they want... one of the three teams to be like, oh, this is a good game for them, but they're not like they're I don't know, they're usually like pretty okay in these kind of tournaments in recent past, even though they don't have a lot of players that you'll recognize, right?
For my own spreadsheet that is kind of a mess, but I just needed something so I could begin to wrap my head around it. I just sort of did it by gambling odds, and for the site that I use, Hungary are not in the group of like they're the worst team in the thing. Like, Finland, North Macedonia, and Slovakia are, like...
different.
Fucking different class of bad to Hungary.
Yeah.
And,
no,
and don't have home matches. You know, so it's the double whammy.
Yeah, so I think... I mean, I still believe that Poland just, you know... I'm sorry, Portugal. Like, they don't create that many chances, and they play pretty conservative in general. So I'm just, like, not that into their attack at all. And I'm seeing a lot of people with Ron, and I just feel like that's the biggest trap I've ever seen in my life of just, like, I feel like Ron is just past it in these tournaments, these games. Like, he's just a passenger, and he'll be there for the tap, and if there's a tap to in. But... or they got a pen or something, you know, but in general,
I was gonna say,
like
he's a, we're so bad at like evaluating the pen players always.
Yeah. But I still just don't see this team as like, they're going to be creating chances. Like, I'm like, this is like the anti like Morata, right? Where I feel like Morata is like an actual piece of shit player. I think he's actively bad, but I would want him in my team because I think that they're going to just be creating chances at will, and he'll donk a couple in, you know, kind of a thing. And I just feel like the Ron, like, it's just like, it's so much money, and I just don't love that. And I've come like full circle on that with like Mbappe or Griezmann, because they're playing Germany, which isn't a good pick, like on paper fixture, but we also like don't know Germany are good. They're kind of in flux, and he's been chopping and changing personnel and formations a lot lately. And France are easily the best team in this tournament. Like, I don't it's remotely
small. That's unanimous.
It's not close. And like, I feel like Mbappe or even Benzema. I mean, Benz is going to be in the middle of everything. He's 2 million less than Mbappe. And say again, like Griezmann's right split in the middle. I mean, he's a little bit, it's a little bit tougher to sell you on him over Mbappe or Benzema, but
Although he always steps it up for France.
And for us.
We've had great times.
Braces. Yeah. Really good times. So I mean we could end up there. Yeah, we'll figure that one out on Friday.
Barca really like turned their shit around after getting dumpstered in Champions League. They stepped it up. So
I'm obsessed with him. I love him so much. But like France is just so good. So
yeah.
I feel like if you want to have a player for that game week one match day or game week one, like final day cap, like I definitely would rather have a player on France against Germany than someone on Portugal.
Yeah. I mean, my counter hesitation is also, it's just Deschamps is still Deschamps also. Similar to Santos on Portugal. Like they play super conservative. Yeah. Super defensive football. Every once in a while, they run into Argentina, who just are like...
Who are open, and they just bend over.
We have no idea, and Mbappe just like hat-tricks, and he scored five goals.
That could be this Germany game. Like,
it could be too stodgy, trying to keep
the ball.
It could be,
That game could be nuts.
But Deschamps' like ideal win is like a 1-0.
Yeah.
You know. No,
that's true. That's fair. So, but I think the quality and the caliber is just so much fucking higher.
No question.
So, yeah.
No question.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I like seeing Ron in a lot of teams because I haven't even considered him for a second. Are you with me on Ron or are you?
Yeah. I haven't even looked at him.
Yeah. I put Mbappe's in our team right now as it currently sits just because I collect the buttons. But I mean, if you are going to want to not gamble on the France Germany, then I think you got to go with like a Jota or João Felix or one of the mid price guys if you want to have someone at the last day to roll onto a few.
As long
if you
as
need
you're
to.
Fucking off Ron immediately, I don't think it's like a horrible match day one captain for that day. You know,
this is what I was also thinking. I might be like 5D chess up my assing this, but if you're put like how many 12 million players can you have in your team? One, right?
Two, I would rather max,
I'd rather have the money like front loaded because you're rolling cap, right? You have 4 days before.
What do you mean front loaded?
Like I'd rather have those huge money guys at the beginning so that if they don't come in I could roll off them rather than rolling onto them because
why?
I don't know.
Okay.
Does it not make sense? It made sense when I was thinking about it like the other day.
I mean, I don't know if it makes
sense. Because you want to secure it as fast as possible. Like, you want the brace as soon as you can, right? Is it just, like, emotional hedging is what I'm thinking of too much?
I think it's emotional hedging because it's, like...
It doesn't make actual sense.
Yeah, because the percentages don't change, right? Say, like, your heavy hitter's 50% chance to return and all your other caps are 15% chance to return. Like,
doesn't matter.
It's still 15, 15, 15, 50 or 50, 50,
just
50,
edit
50.
This out. Edit this out. I can't face
myself
gonna
edit
with
it.
This. Edit it out.
I haven't even thought about like the order of the cap, and now I'm like curious if there is something to it. Would you rather have the safety net on your last day, or have?
I want to go wild at the end, like because I feel like
there is actually something to that. I think because hitting, as we know with FPL, hitting like a low cap guy.
Wait! This was the thing I was thinking about.
Here we go.
You're more inclined to twist when you have like Ron at the end. You're like, oh my God, like, oh, he got like eight. Like, oh, like, but I have Ron. Like, that's so good. So I should twist on like match day two or like, oh, it's like nine. Like, oh, but like, I have Ron at the end. Like, I could keep going and because I have Ron at the end, you know?
Right.
And I feel like that's what has happened historically
you'll drop points.
Where I keep, and you just drop points because then you end up with Ron at the end and he's a piece of shit and he's 60 years old and he doesn't do anything. And then he gets 2 points and you're fucked. Right. Versus like, if you have shitty guys at the end, you're like, okay, well, I got a 9-pointer in the third game week and I have two kind of bad guys and I had all my heavy hitters already and I have eight. Like, I'll sit on eight. Like, that's good.
It's good. Yeah.
That's
and then
I was,
you just use
go.
Your subs.
It
on
got
the
unpicked.
I like that.
It
like
unpicked
that.
It. We like unlocked
that.
It.
I like that.
Don't edit out the before.
The
keep it.
So if you went, yeah, I'm keeping. If we went the other way, it's like, yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I like that.
Oh, look at that adjustment in the chair. Good. Wow, I got you.
No,
got
I slid right in
You're
there.
You're thinking
I slid
about
right
it.
In there.
That was good, right? That's good.
I have a fan on, and I'm risking the fan, and I hope it doesn't like get picked up on the mic because it's so fucking hot and humid. But you know, I slid in right there.
So France, I'm very fine with you having a French attacker.
Yeah.
They're great. They're just the best team in the game.
I'm also fine with not.
Yeah.
And just getting them in too. Yeah, like
I'm also fine with that.
Like I think a lot of people just based on like being on Twitter and shit today.
Games in Munich
are not great. A lot of people are planning to limit listen to and go like you said, Mbappe, Benz, Griezmann.
For the Hungary game.
Yeah. And that's the 1 week they can afford all the France guys, and it's the 1 week they want all the France guys. And I think that's reasonable.
Okay. So we have a lot of discussions to be made on this one, but we have so many discussions.
So much.
Dude, like we're already running long. We've talked about one team.
We haven't talked about anything.
Any players. We're talking about fucking rules and like nonsense. Who gives a fuck?
All right, let's bang these questions out. Happy said penalty taking defenders always do well in tournament fantasy. Who's this year's Ramos? Are there any?
Well, I mean, you know the Swiss Rick Rod.
Oh yeah,
my God, fucking obsession.
Your Achilles heel.
Yeah, that's more appropriate. But I mean, we have Rick Rod and we have Alioski, and then there's that fucking guy on Sweden who probably won't even play, like Fuckberg or whatever. What's his name?
Granqvist.
Yeah, right? He actually was a legend in previous either World Cup or something. He did do a lot of points, but
it was World Cup.
They play Spain first. Yeah, World Cup. I mean, Rick Rod made and then missed, I think, a pen in their last friendly. And I think he's had like 3 or 4 pens in their last like 70 games.
Yeah,
It's not. It doesn't look great. I mean, Switzerland are, they don't look too exciting this round. And Wales are, you know, I mean, I think, listen, I mean, he's the answer is Rick Rod. Like, if they keep 2 clean sheets and somehow emerge out of the group and they get 1 pen, like, he's going to be top 3 players of defenders. If he takes the pen, he'll be top 3 defender
they also
points
have Wales
in group.
Match day 1.
First. Yeah, which is nice.
Which is really nice. Yeah.
Will they keep it clean? I mean, I don't know. They could easily lose that game. I mean, I don't really like the Swiss team. I think that they're just like a lot of old
guys that are too young. Part of not liking them is like it's the same fucking shit.
Every year, every fucking for the
last
10 years.
They've had the same Pekovic
same
for
players, Sommer,
8 years or something, yeah. And it's just the same like shitty attack. Some guys, Shaqiri, center of everything. Like,
yeah.
They have good center backs.
Yeah,
the center backs are good. Akanji, Elvedi,
Char.
Char's still solid.
Char's always good when he puts on the Swiss shirt.
Yeah. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I do feel like that. I mean, I think we do need to actually revisit that conversation about Rick Rod because
no, I agree.
I mean,
especially
Wales,
with the chip, right? Because it's
chip. I mean, Wales is not a hard
game.
That's
a good fixture.
And
it's a good fixture.
And I mean, if they clean, you know, it's just okay.
Yeah, no.
But I mean, Alioski plays on the worst team in the game, so I don't think I'm. Again, it's similar to Ron. I love seeing him in teams. I hope
is he in teams.
He's in a lot of teams.
Whoa.
A lot of teams. I'd say half the teams on Discord.
Half?
Yeah, I'd say about half.
Holy shit.
Because he's on pens. Like, oh, he's on pens and blah, 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 4 or 5. It's like, whatever. Yeah, no, I mean, that's. I'm just telling you what I'm seeing.
It's like the worst player on Leeds goes to the worst team in the tournament. It's like
no, it's nuts. But he's in a lot of teams.
That's weird.
That.
I didn't see that coming. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I think that's it though, as far as I know. And Ramos, Ramos is just not.
He just I think banned RM players. Just none are allowed on the team. So that's
because they're
he's
just
on
like
RM,
toxic
so.
Losers or
yeah,
something.
Toxic scum. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. So he's out. You know.
Okay. And Bear said, "Who are the?" "Quote unquote obvious guys that total newcomers to the Euros he need to consider." So, like, I think what he means is guys we would have never considered in FPL or something like that that are like good in Euros, maybe like types of players.
I mean, I don't think you have to think of it in that way. You know, it's still the good players on good teams are good. You know, good pick, good player.
The way I was thinking is just your bench and your squad.
Yeah, the squad's
like,
important.
We talked about that already, but like we're not joking. Like we're gonna have 2 nailed starting keepers. We're gonna have 3 nailed guys on the bench. We're not like risking like, oh, is this guy first choice? I don't know. It's like you get guys the cost that you can sub in.
The cost of a player not starting is so fucking enormous in this game. Yeah. Because, again, you know, there's no bonus points. Braces are really hard. Double returns, really, really hard to come by because the games are traditionally pretty low scoring. You know, you're going to be in the 60-70 range. Like, it's not going to be hitting some 90s. You know, it's that just isn't how this game works. So if you don't, if you aren't able to rotate and roll your blankers for new guys and try and hit the clean sheet, like six is a lot more than two in this game, a lot more than it feels like in a 38 game week FPL season.
Exactly.
You know, that kind of thing. So it's important to do that. And I mean, maybe the other aspect is like, you know, players like Wijnaldum who play cam instead of DM. You know, there are a handful role of changes. Players.
Yeah.
A handful like Eriksen who plays completely free 10 role or whatever for Denmark instead of playing like, you know, a little bit, you know, more box to box here or 8-6-ish or whatever the fuck. So, you know, there's a couple of those, but I mean, by and large, it's the same, you know, same principles. Yeah. You know, you just get the players who are good on the good teams and, you know, you do your best there.
Agreed. So D Silva's Jockstrap wrote in, he said, son of Jockstrap wants to know which teams do you think will unexpectedly fly during the group stage and conversely, which teams do you think will fail to live up to expectations?
Okay.
So I want to start with the fail to live up to expectations because you just brought up Genie. And I just like can't get into Netherlands thus far. On Monday evening, I'm just like
not there. I think they're like obscenely lucky that all these games are being played in Amsterdam.
Oh my God, it's huge. It's huge.
And, dude, you know, the thing about, like the thing about this one to me,
highest percent chance based on gambling odds in the entire thing to like win their group and advance. Like, people are treating them as like they're a top four or five team, they're going to dominate. And I'm just like, I don't know about that.
I mean, we could spend 20 minutes on Netherlands, but, you know, Frank de Boer is a manager. He's not a good manager. He's, and that's saying something for, you know, international managers who are usually not good. But this is how he's, this is how not good he is, right? Renaissance roll fucking tide through their qualifications, right?
Yep.
Score a billion goals, dominate, don't lose, fuck everyone up sideways.
Yep.
They have played two friendlies in the last 2 weeks. He switched formations to five at the back. And they just out of nowhere, barely working. And he's telling us that this is what he's going to do going into the thing. He hasn't played five at the back once at qualification. This is what the guy is. You know, he's a fucking moron. He's an actual footballing moron.
And he's the worst manager in Premier League history.
Yeah.
Fact.
My Palace, ex-Palace manager.
My manager. Not my president.
So, like, that's the thing. You know, we talk about, this is what we talk about on this podcast about international managers. Just if you're managing good players, you just want to get out of the way and just kind of pick the best players and just kind of let them play. Because that's usually all it takes.
System. Simplify. Them play. Put them in the best positions. Yeah. Like, yeah.
So not simplifying the system is playing system A during qualification for a handful of games that lasts a year and then say hello to your friends 2 or 3 weeks before game one, change the entire formation system, brand new system, two friendlies. Here's the first game.
Yeah.
He's fucking bad and dumb. So I'm seeing like Memphis and teams and, you know, yeah, Memphis, good player, good pick, probably.
I love Memphis.
10 million. Okay, great. Yeah. Home. Okay. Ukraine. Really good team. I actually really, really like Ukraine. So if you're telling me about that pick one that's going to overhype the hype, I love Ukraine and this. I love them. I think it's just the numbers just play so badly for Netherlands to not advance because
that's the thing.
North Macedonia is in the group. So, you know, they only need to win one of Ukraine, Austria, which even if they play five at the back and they don't, and they're both, even if they play five at the back and are barely functioning, they should win one of those games. And that's all they're going to have to do.
Yeah.
But if they lose to Ukraine and they draw Austria, they could, that eliminates them.
That's that could eliminate way them, that
which
they
is possible,
lose it.
Which is possible. Austria, absolutely very defensively, possible. Very possible. Like Austria, like very good defensive team. I could just see
Austria's
Netherlands
better than
struggling.
Years past, which I was surprised when I was doing my research. Like,
Austria
pretty good.
Yeah, Austria looked pretty decent. And
they're okay.
Yeah, so I definitely am with you on Netherlands. I'm very, very skeptical on Netherlands. Very skeptical.
So is Ukraine's your pick for the team, your dark horse pick?
I don't know if I have to like pick one. It's a little bit high pressured intensity, but
we'll probably talk about many teams that we like and dislike. Yeah.
I do really like Ukraine. I do. Yeah. I just do. I mean, I think that they have, you know, they have a combination of kind of like a good like age team, I think. And they have some just like individually really good players, and you know, Yarmo's really good for them, and
yeah,
you know, I don't know, Yaremchuk looks good. It just they have kind of everything that you need, and I just like them. I like Pyatov. I like them.
Well, we might as well just something talk about him. Who do you like fantasy picks wise?
I like Malinovsky. I think that he's just like a really good player. He's 7 million, really, which is good. A little steep, but this is the thing, right? I'm not going to want any of these players against Netherlands because they're still playing Netherlands, you know? Yeah. So the benefit of that is that we'll be able to see, you know, the system and who's playing where and shit, right? So. Yeah. You know, but the Macedonia game is the one that you're going to want to exploit for them, which is in the second game. So,
and it's in Bucharest, right next door.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I think you're Yaremchuk at 7. I mean, I think that that's like for the Macedonia game. Like, I love that. If you could kind of punt on that and fit him in. And
you know who I also love? Fucking Zinchenko. He's listed as a 5-5 defender. He's going to play central midfield.
I don't love him for Netherlands, but you got he's another good one for the Macedonia game. He could just clean goal in that game. Definitely could imagine that happening.
Clean assist even.
And I mean, what Saigonkov or whatever, like he's good. They have, I think he was like the Ukrainian like footballer of the year or something. I think he's on like Ghent or something. Marlos, you know him from fucking Shakhtar. He's been there forever.
Yeah.
Stepanenko's on Shakhtar. I don't know if he's starting for them, but they just have
18-year-old Zabarni. He's center back for Kiev. He's supposed to be starting. They have he's a young, like highly touted prospect and shit. Yeah, yeah, they're good.
I like them. And I think that they'll be able to, like, if it comes down to like a winning in against Austria in the third game, I think that they'll be able to do that. So I like Ukraine.
I'm kind of, if I had to pick one right now, when I was going through the squads and stuff, and I haven't even finished going through all the squads, so, you know, this is going to change 5 times, but kind of Denmark curious. I think their squad is actually really good. It was like surprisingly good. I was talking about it with Nate today in Discord. It's just like really good center backs, Schmeichs and goal, really insanely good midfields.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the better midfields probably and most functional midfields. Their defensive record is out of control because of that spine right there. Yeah, they don't have goals and that's hard, but you know, a lot of teams don't have goals in this tournament.
They have Eriksen.
And they have Eriksen and they just have some guys who can, you know, scramble for one goal and they can win matches 1-0. I feel like they're a lot better than Russia and Finland in my head. And Russia are
good. I think that's going to be a really intense game.
Yeah.
Like if it comes down to it and you know, seeing where, cause they play on the third day, cause Belgium should roll, right? Both of them.
Yeah. Belgium should dominate. But another thing about Denmark is also 3 matches in Copenhagen.
Yeah, which is nice. Which incredible. Is incredible. What would it take for me to talk you into going with Captain Eriksen over Rom?
It would take so little.
Oh my god.
Dude, Belgium are sneaky fucked up.
They're kind of fucked up.
No Kev, no Witzel. People are like talking about Hazard, which just drives me up a wall.
Yeah, which is insane. He has not played.
Talk about like fucking.
They're playing
like,
in St. Petersburg. So in are we
St. Petersburg?
I'm all about that. I'm obsessed with Eriksen. You know,
and
that.
I'm all about the home mattering. Like, dude, we just saw a World Cup.
This is
where Russia
are happening right now.
Russia like made it to the final eight, right?
So we might just swerve Rom.
Well, not entirely. I mean,
but no, for the first game.
Oh, for the first game, yeah, maybe. That could be happening.
Finland are ass. Well, ass fuck.
Here's another team that I like though is Italy, and they play all their games in Rome. And when I first opened
the game... Turkey's fucking good, though.
I don't know.
I mean, I feel pretty confident that they're a fucking good team.
They're a team that I like their squad, but I don't feel like I have a grasp on like how they're going to play, if that makes sense.
I mean, they didn't give up any goals in qualifying.
Yeah, I know. And then they gave
they're up good.
Infinity I think they're goals just, since then.
Yeah, but friendlies and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no, I hear you. I think they're fucking good. But so what's your angle?
Well, I was
that?
Just
so,
talking that like, Immobile was a guy where I was like, ugh, 10 for Immobile. There's Mbappe. Oh, like you there's think, fucking Rom. It. Like, blah, blah. Yeah. He's a premium that, like, after going through cycle Could one brace. Of shit, I was like, yeah, I like Immobile. I like fucking Barella. Even Insigne, I'm like, damn, they Berardi, actually are, yeah. like, fucking good. Mancini, we always know when successful club managers go international, they're just like, the best managers in the tournament. And I'm just like Roberto Mancini, like, let's go. Yeah, exactly. When you get relegated from Wigan and then have a so-so time at Everton and then you're just like elite national team manager, I don't know.
No, I mean, I think that is something we should play with what the differences look like, because if we are able to do something with like an Immobile and then an Eriksen instead of like a Rom, and be able to have that kind of cascade of captaincies, mm-hmm. it might be better than yeah. having kind of a piss take captain for Italy, which, you know,
yeah.
I like Insigne as a player, but I don't think as like a, you know, as a fantasy player, I don't think he's like 8'5".
He had a really
I don't,
big year, but
you know, but he's just, I don't know. I've seen a bunch of him and I feel yeah. like he's always a little bit underwhelming and he goes missing yeah. a lot. I don't know. Cause you know that when they score, it's going to be, Immobile is going to be fucking involved yeah, unless if it's a penal. 10 million. Which Jorginho, I know we've touched on that, but I don't know. I mean, we're gonna have the team sheets and shit, so that's one thing.
That's
I
huge,
think that
yeah.
that is something worth looking
oh, yeah,
at because
that's, we didn't mention that in the, you know, the deadline being the actual kickoff. It means we're gonna have team sheets for the first match of every week, you know, match week, whatever the fuck they call it. We'll have the lineup, so you can always, you know, use that.
Right. Okay. I mean, how bad are Russia? I mean, that's the other thing is
Russia,
you know, Belgium,
so,
Russia.
So hard to read because
yeah,
right, they played out of their fucking skin in the World Cup at home.
Which this is all home.
They have like two
have
home,
home,
one
games.
Away or something, right?
I thought they were all in fucking.
No, they have St.
Petersburg,
Belgium, St. Petersburg, Finland, which fucking match day two, we're going Zuba, fucking, we're getting everyone.
Yeah,
but
we're
then,
getting all the
then
Russians.
Then they're Copenhagen
then they're
versus
Copenhagen.
Denmark,
okay.
which is a fucking tough fixture.
Yeah. I don't, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Are Belgium going to just roll into St. Petersburg and fucking 3-0 them? Like, I mean, they,
like,
obviously they could.
With like Chadli, Tielemans. Like
about Chadli,
Torgan,
Nazar. That's a little bit personal.
No, but
effects.
That's like it's either gonna be Torgan or Chadli at left wing back. Pretty much, that's what everyone thinks. And then like
could be Gosens, right?
Yeah, it could be. And then like Carrasco, Rom, Mertens, which is obviously insane. And then it's gonna be like Tielemans. I don't know who's gonna be next to him in midfield.
Dindonker,
like that. I don't. That
yeah,
doesn't scream like fucking destroy the Russian team. They're like.
Yeah, no Kev is a big deal.
It's a
I don't
huge
know.
Deal.
We might, but this is this, and like, are we doing the other thing where we're talking out of both sides of our mouth with them and like France, where it's like, okay, well, before the fucking thing started, we're like, yeah, Belgium are obviously like one of the best teams in
yeah,
the competition,
I mean,
like top
we
three.
Touched Rom at all?
Yeah, he hasn't left our team since we made it, but I think, I mean, that could be because this is the other thing we talk about: swing for the fences, right? A 43% probably will be higher than that. Rom captained on game week two. Like how many make hay when the sun shines are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
Versus like he blanks and we have Eriksen. We're like, oh, okay.
yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Russia. Does- yeah. I think we need to do a little, I think both of us need to do a little bit more investigating about Russia and kind of get a better read for us to
yeah.
see what we think about yeah. that. Because I mean, I usually like Russia. Like usually I
They're
like
usually-
them.
Kind
usually
of
good.
Underratedly good because no one
yeah.
watches any of their players because no one watches the fucking Russian league and they almost all play there.
But they're yeah, I just feel like they're like
Golovin, I like
Golovin
a lot.
Yeah, I mean Zuba. I mean they still have that fucking that goalie. What's his name? And they have someone different today.
But yeah, like
Akinfeev, he's gone, I guess.
Home in St. Petersburg against Finland.
Yeah, Marco and Mario Fernandez.
Probably be a must win for them if they want to advance. I mean, they have to beat Finland. I love, like, Golovin, Zuba, someone
Cheryshev.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cherry Blossom okay. Girl. All
right, yeah, and I mean, Denmark defense also against Finland looks really good for Game of Quarters. I mean, basically, this, the thing, like you mentioned, right, we talked about North Macedonia, diabolical team. Finland yeah. also, I think, diabolical.
Yeah, they're one of the three.
Really yeah. bad. Yeah, yeah, they're really fucking bad. And, I mean, I think Slovakia, we talked about yep. them for a little bit. They're really bad. And
you hit all three.
I think Czech Republic are kind of bad.
Yeah, they're, yeah, gambling odds-wise, not in that bottom group, but they're probably bad. Yeah.
Yeah. And then otherwise, I think, you know, you have a pretty much like glob of, you know, decent to mid decent teams and then yeah. the good ones, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
anyone who, because yeah. it's, and like, you know, you talk about like a Wales, right? They're obviously not like good. They don't play, or Scotland, right? They don't play like good flowing football, no. but they're hell to play against. Like you know that game. They're gonna yeah, like they're gonna organize well and they're gonna be able to kind of just do the best they can to keep it tight and probably do that. So yep. those aren't teams that are gonna get pushed over versus
and they're really like, physical and they're yeah. gonna contest everything. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and like run their fucking asses off. Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. Right. Wow, that was a huge tangent. I loved it. Vax said, who are your top 4 or 5 million defenders? Are there any premium defenders, 5-5 or more, that stick out? Have you found any that you've like really fallen for defense-wise?
Well, I mean, Daenerys seems good. This is, again, right? We're looking at this through like two mini games of like yeah. players who you're like, oh, I want this player for the three match day games, or, oh, this is
which
like a good game
not
one day.
Doing at all.
Yeah, which we're not really doing. So, you know, you have to understand that that's kind of how we're looking at this, which yeah. is a little bit unfortunate if that's not how you're looking at this, but yeah, it's yeah, our yeah. pod. So if you don't like it, go fuck yourself. I think Daenerys is a really good pick. You know, we have had Pau Torres in our team for a while. I mean, 4 or 5 Spain defenders, pretty good. We've had that Kjær
is
Kjær
so
nailed
good.
In like, our team. Yeah, dude, 4 or 5.
4 or 5, really good player, very highly rated. Home Finland, match day one, like nailed.
Yeah, yeah nailed.
We've had Spinazzola for a while, but there's some talk about Emerson and stuff and them like splitting minutes and just, so it's kind of sketch. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that an Italy defender, again, will get the team before Turkey. Yes. So you don't have to really make that call on which specific name, but if you want to put a 5-5 guy in there, having an Italy guy seems good, even though Turkey are good.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm really not, I haven't really played with it that much. Like, I don't think we should have an Italian defender in our Game Week 1 team.
It's weird, right? It's a different Italy.
Well, I mean, they're just a little bit more loose and I just think Turkey are good. Like, that's the main thing is I like them against Switzerland and Wales a lot. You know, I think that they could easily do those cleans, but I just don't feel the same against Turkey. I just think Turkey have enough about them that that's enough of a threat.
Yeah. Turkey have a lot of interesting guys.
Yeah. I think Austria also, I mean, they have the great blessing of from God that they get to play North Macedonia Game Week 1. I mean, I think that, you know, we have Hinteregger in our team.
Schlager, their keeper.
Yeah, Schlager. I think that that's like an exploitable, you know, Game Week 1. And, you know, that's something to consider for sure. And then, you know, also Portugal, right? The Portugal, they play Hungary. So, you know, if you want to go something there, there are options there. You know, maybe a pew-pew or something like that. But, and then the Belgium, again, like Denayer, but, you know, even like Meunier or whatever, like they, Toby, you know, I just,
to be honest,
good.
I'm not that into their defense, not going to lie.
Yeah. I just feel like they're going to dominate games so hard that it's just... And Tebow is so good, dude.
Tebow's good, but I don't know. Toby and Vertonghen are getting old and like...
I really don't like Netherlands against Ukraine, obviously, as previously mentioned. I feel like that is not going to be a clean sheet.
I mean, we're both just so down on Netherlands. It's hard to like... Yeah. I mean, they play North Macedonia match day 3, sure. Yeah. But I'm like not. I like Depay. I do think Depay is like good enough good that he can like
it doesn't matter
create his own goal, he'll score goals. These games also seem kind of open to me, you know, like Ukraine and Austria are not shutting up shop.
Yep. Agree.
But yeah, any deeper on Netherlands? I mean, Gini, I guess he scores nonstop for Netherlands. It's like so bizarre. But yeah, I'm not too into them either.
What do you think about England, about like the defenders and shit? Like, what do you think about that Croatia? Do you, I don't know. I'm seeing people are like, oh, Croatia suck, blah, blah, blah. But I've just never could.
I don't like,
I feel like Croatia are good.
So Group D is England, Croatia, Czech Republic, Scotland. I just absolutely hate this group for goals. I feel like all the games are tough. They're all going to be 0-0, 1-0. They might suck, but England.
I think they suck. I think that's the exploitable game.
Yeah, it might be, but that's their third game. They're home in London versus Croatia, and they're home in London versus Scotland, and I just think those are just grinding, tough, like, well, set piece wins.
Yeah, 1-0. Yeah, so get Mason.
Tough game, negative tactics, maybe. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, they could clean. I also just don't know who's starting and shit. Who's starting for England? I feel like no one knows.
I don't know. I mean, before the thing started, it was like Kane, Sancho, Rash, and then, you know, Mount.
No, I mean,
blah, 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 blah. Oh, I think they're talking about like Shaw. Let me look at the names and it'll jog my memory. Shaw, Stones, Walker in the middle three, and then like Trips and someone else, like wing back, Chilwell, Trips, wing back, or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. They're all expensive. Trips at five is interesting, I think.
Yeah. They're all and Trips is really good set piece also, but
if he's taking them, I don't know what the fuck.
I just England's squad is so fucking deep, and I just don't feel like that strongly about. I don't feel good about the attackers because I just described how I think the matches are going to go.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think we went from like, oh yeah, Kane, like easy. Like, yeah. I haven't
Kane
really considered
is like
having him.
Match day three cap, like all about it. Like, great.
Yeah, it's going to matter. Wait. Yeah. The game should matter.
It probably will. Like, yeah, like people are thinking that Scotland and London is like some like bankable. Dude, Scotland's going to be a tough game.
They're good. They're a very good, tight, compact team.
Tough.
Like, they're always good. Like, yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a 0-0, 1-1, 1-0 game, I think.
At every international tournament, we always get roped into being like, oh my God, this is going to be a blowout. Like, they're so rare. The quality of football is so much lower than club football. Yeah. It just like doesn't happen. And so the tactic, which is already really strong in club football, of just sitting deep and countering, is even stronger in international. Like, Dyche would be a god on the international stage. Yeah. And yeah, so it's tough.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I'm also like, Sweden, I think, are bad.
Yeah.
I think Sweden are like pretty exploitable. Like, that Spain Sweden game, that could be like a cricket score.
We're both pretty high on Spain, I think.
Yeah, we're both pretty high. Except I saw the Busquets got the COVID.
Riddled. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. But
I don't know if that matters.
I also don't know if he's that good anymore.
He's old. But I saw they had some close contact. I don't know.
Turhal said Yilmaz, best player in the game, right? Speaking of Turkey. I don't know. We've had him for a while, to be fair.
Yeah, he's not going to make the cut.
He's not going to make the team.
No, there's no way. But, I mean, again, this is the same thing. If you're like, okay, I want to not use Chips in the first three games or whatever, yeah, you know, Yilmaz, even though he's an old man, they create, you know.
Yeah.
He should bang a couple. He's good.
They have Italy and Rome, match day one. It's terrible. It's one of the worst fixtures, but match day two and three, they're in Baku, which is very close to Turkey. Wales, Switzerland, reasonable. Very reasonable.
Yeah, they should win those games. I mean, they should get out. Like, this should be Turkey, Italy out of the group.
I think Switzerland is right in line with Turkey. I don't like them,
I don't
want them to. But, like,
they're consistent.
They consistently get out of the groups. Like, they have the same manager playing the same system.
No, you're right.
They're always tough. They're always hard to beat. They're just so fucking boring and bad to watch.
Switzerland, Turkey, like, third game. I mean, that should be another one fighting to get out.
Huge.
I mean, there always are. You know, the third game. You know, you have half of them that don't mean anything, and half of them that are like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, that could be a really good one. That should be exciting.
That should be really good. Yeah. D-back, what general FPL strategies, thought processes go out the window when playing the shorter formatted games. I guess we already talked about that.
That's the main thing's the hits. Don't hit.
And Barrett said, what are the best resources for planning captaincy and subs? I mean,
you don't need dude. You just fucking look at the thing.
That's
you
know? What you I was going to say. Like, I just have it open and I just look. I mean, I'm sure like Krellen has a spreadsheet or some shit, but like.
Yeah, whatever. You make your team, then you double check against the fixtures. Like, oh, do I have someone on this day? Yeah. Do I have someone on this day? Yeah. I mean, it takes a few minutes, right? Yeah. But you don't have to do anything too elaborate. It's not rocket science.
Yep. Liam said, I've read a few things about set-piece goals being far more regular in international tournaments. With that said, who are some good set-piece takers to look at, along with corresponding center-backs that like to attack on corners?
I mean, it's fucking dime a dozen. I mean, you're still looking at 3%ers here. You know, maybe instead of 3, it's 4%, right, of goal off a set-piece or whatever. You know who the good takers are. You have, like, Çalhanoğlu. You know, you have Mason Mount, absolute legend. Chelsea, legend. Champions League medal, champ legend.
Winning.
Eriksen, genius. Kevin, after he's back from his face fracture, you know.
Yeah, they're making a very small deal out of his minor eye surgery, and I'm like,
It only took 20 minutes, they said.
Oh, it only took 20 minutes to slice his eyeball open? Oh, okay. Yeah,
it only takes a second to chop a cock off, so.
Yeah, exactly. Never forget that, dude. I don't know. We'll see about
that.
I think it's a reasonable question. Like, if I could compile every set piece taker on every team, I think that would be a useful resource. I just personally haven't gone that deep yet. But I will, and I'll come back to you. You know, like I don't think
that's the right way to go about things, though. Honestly,
what?
Like, because what are you looking? You're looking for like, oh, the 5.5 to 6.5 million mid on, you know, the Czech Republic who might take a free kick, like who might have four in a game.
Not the Czech Republic, but maybe some, you know, middling team.
Yeah, but all the good teams are, they're all, like, all the best players are expensive. Like, you know, it's not like, oh, wow, shit, he's on fucking corners too. I'm definitely going to get this guy.
I don't know, like, I'm trying to think of a team. I don't know. Who takes set pieces for, like, Croatia or...
The fucking old guy. Russia. What's his name? What's the old guy's name over there?
Modric?
Yeah, Modric.
I don't know. Does he take corners? I don't know. He can't. Yeah, he can't run back.
Yeah. I think for Russia, it's like probably like Cheryshev.
All I'm saying is that I'd like to know. Like they have an eight foot tall Zuba, you know, and they have big people in that region of Earth. So you know, could be good.
There's Golovin, like some, or maybe Golovin. I don't know.
Yeah, probably is because he's a legend, but. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's something to consider. But
I think there's a possibility that you stumble upon a center back who's 4-5, nailed on some like not that bad team who scored 7 goals or something, and you're just like, oh shit, this guy could be good, you know, some rando that we don't know about yet.
Could do.
Tio said, I feel like I hate 90% of midfielders. Is there anyone really standing out to you? Carrasco and Torres are the only two I really like.
Carrasco? That's interesting. I think this is the other thing that, like, the more we have been tinkering and the more I'm, like, looking deeper is, you know, the mids that are in the 7 million region are very punty. And, you know, you have to really hit 8, other than Ferran Torres, at 8. You know, you have to hit 8.5 plus to get the guys that are like, oh, this is a good player. I know who this is.
Yeah.
Versus, like, they're just all punts. Like, so, you know, and then it comes to, like, am I punting on a 7 million midfielder or am I punting on, like, a 5.5 million midfielder?
Right.
And, you know, is it worth the 1.5, you know, that whole thing. So I think it gives you an opportunity if you're willing to take a little bit more risk at the forward spot. Because I think that there are a lot of forwards who are, you know, in the 7 million region who have really good fixtures, you know, Game Week 1 or whatever. And that's where you could maybe make some weight. And, you know, you don't need, you know, Rom and Kane and Ronaldo. Yeah. You know, you don't need all of those guys. Like, are they going to be worth collectively more than, you know, Yilmaz and a 7.5 million guy and a 7 million guy, you know.
Right.
Maybe, but maybe not.
I don't know why, but I get the feeling also that, like, the forwards tend to be more nailed. Like, for almost every team, it's like, this is our number 9. Like, this is our striker, and they're usually on pens and shit. Whereas the mid, it's like, you know, is Berardi or Chiesa starting? Like, that fucks you if you get that wrong, you know? Or is this guy or this guy starting, you know? And so that's, yeah, there's just more risk in midfield for sure.
So I think that's something that's worth playing around with because, yeah, I definitely agree. You know, you definitely see, you look around the midfield options and there just aren't that many. I mean, Sabitzer's actually, what do you think about Sabitzer?
I like him. He's 8 though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 8.
That's a lot. I don't know. I was looking at Golovin too.
But they play Macedonia first.
I did forget about that.
That could be another fucking mad cap shout. I mean, if we're not going to go England, Croatia, there's also the Netherlands, Ukraine that day.
Well, let's just
if we could find an Austrian to cap, that could be good.
Yeah, let's take a second to just look at our match day because we're committing to chip every day, right? In group stage. So what are the match day one fixtures that you want to target? Austria, North Macedonia, great fixture.
Yep.
Denmark Copenhagen Finland. Versus Finland, great.
Yep. Spain, Sweden.
Spain, home, Sweden.
And then the last day, I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, you're looking by the days. I'm just looking at, like, the fixtures. I mean, dude, Poland have Slovakia. We're not... we're the absolute last people on Earth to ever consider Lewandowski, but if we're going one... a day, every day, wild card, basically, in group stage, Poland's playing Slovakia is a good fixture.
Spain's playing Sweden the same day. Not even close.
Yeah.
Dude, are you kidding? Did you just try to mount a fucking fraud?
I'm just listing the really good
fixtures. Are you kidding me?
I'm just listing the
bankers.
I thought we were... You think a lot of things.
Understanding each other.
You think a lot of things.
There's actually nothing in the world that you could do, say, send me that would have Lewandowski be in our team at any point in this entire game.
We also forgot Portugal, Hungary, which we have established is maybe not that good a fixture.
But. Yeah, I don't love that. I kind of said the last day, I'm like, eh. Like, I'd rather like.
What are the fixtures on the last day?
It's Hungary, Portugal, and then France, Germany. It's only 2 games. That's the thing. That's a tough one on the last day.
Ugh.
That's why I was like, do you want to have like an Mbappe to just have a last chance role?
No.
I mean, it might be worth it.
Is like, I want like a Portuguese defender.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, it might be worth it to have like a 5 million Portuguese defender or something just so that we could just like, if we're stuck on two,
we're just stuck.
Like maybe we get a clean sheet and we just get like an extra 4 or something.
That's how I feel.
And having a low involvement in there.
They have like legit, you know, expensive attacking defenders too. You know, they have fucking Guerrero and Cancelo.
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with that. Who's the fucking cheapest one? You think is Pepe or I don't know?
I think Font
for them.
Yeah, I think Font.
So yeah, I mean, I think I would be happy to have Font.
Yeah.
Like if Font we don't get Mbappe or something, I think
Font
I'd be happy
be
to
in
do
the
that.
Team. I think he should be.
Or
in
actually,
the team.
Maybe like Rui could be good.
Sure. Yeah. How much is he 5 or 5'5"?
He's 5'5". That's kind of annoying.
That is fucking annoying.
Or Font's 5. I mean, is there a chance that Font doesn't play? Could be Diaz and Pepe. He might not play.
Yeah. I guess
there's
always... It shouldn't
be because he's been playing all the time. But.
Yeah, exactly. There's always a chance, I guess. But everyone in the world is basically saying, like, it's Font.
Yeah, it's Font. It's Font and Diaz. And then it's what? Is it... It's Guerrero and Cancelo.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not totally opposed to those guys. I don't think we should just write them off as like whatever.
Spending more,
like they're fucking.
It's a lot. It's a lot extra to spend.
Incredible though.
Yeah, but it's a lot extra to spend.
It is, but
because we'd basically be having to say like, okay, we're spending extra because A, we're expecting a blank on fucking 4 captains, and B, their chance in one game of getting an attacking return is 1.5 million more.
Right.
Or 1 million more than Font, right? I mean, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
That's where I'm coming from on that.
It might. I don't know.
It might. Well,
basically, all I'm saying is, like, with the flexibility of a wild card every day in groups, it's like, you can do weird stuff with money, you know?
You can. Like, no, you're right. You're right.
It like your money is so much more flexible than if you're building like a group stage team, which I think a lot of people are doing.
Yeah, you're right. Dude, Rick Rods. We're gonna have to have more Rick conversations. We're gonna have to talk about Rick Rod too. Yeah, that's a tough one. I feel bad about it because you know I'm an ultra with Rick Rod, and he's never gotten us any points, and we always have him.
Yeah, it's not even that I don't like him. I'm just like,
I know we've had him in every fucking game,
every single game,
like 8 years. For fucking 4 competitions. He's never gotten us points.
Yeah,
I want him though badly.
Yeah,
I can't help myself. I'm a Rick Rod
and
fucking addict.
Cap Erickson that day.
I love that, dude.
I love it. I love that, dude. I'm freaking.
I can't, dude. Last time we talked to Erickson, you were like, "Fuck off, fuck out of my face with Erickson."
Things change.
I love this, dude. This is my most excited moment of the pod. Is this Erickson turn of
Denmark,
twist of fate
so far? And I already mentioned this, but I'll say it again. So far, for me, going through squad by squad, I was the most shocked at how good Denmark's squad was. Like, I was expecting to be like, they kind of suck, but Eriksson. And I was like, they're good.
Yeah. Like, Finland? Not good.
Finland are fucking horrible.
Fucking bad.
There is actually one gem I found. I have like gems written down and shit. Load on Finland. 5-5 mid. He's going to be playing up top next to Pukki. 5-5 mid out of position forward.
Whatever.
Let's go.
2 points.
Load, dude.
All right. Let's get out of here, I think. What do you think? Do we have
got
more?
2 more questions. One more question. Haffy said, mid-price mids, who's good? I expect to see a heap of penalties at the Euros. Who are the cheapish players on pens nobody's talking about? For example, I have Larsson from Sweden, 6 million mid. I don't even know if he's on pens.
Well, he missed his last one, so. Hey-o. Yeah.
Sabitzer. He might be on pens.
Yeah, he could be. I mean,
do
Mark,
we know
Arna,
if Arnie's starting?
We don't know yet.
It's either Arnie
he's
or
not
the
like
six foot six like monster guy that I read about. Sasa Kalajic. He's 6'6". Yeah. He had a breakout season for Stuttgart. 16 goals. He was just like had a monster season.
I don't know. I mean, it could be Sabitzer.
Could be.
I mean, that's another thing too. I mean, Sabitzer, what they play. I mean, I like that also as like a rogue cap option. I don't know, dude. Because I mean, I don't know. Maybe, that's the other thing. Like, maybe we might
levels,
want like Memphis.
Yeah, the funness levels of the rotating cap.
The pervy caps are so fun.
It's so much.
That's
more
another
fun.
Thing we need to.
And the other thing is that like we've talked about this when we were talking about bonus and stuff like that. Where like FPL. We think added bonus to try and make the DMs and shitty players relevant. You know, try and make like Declan Rice a pick because he's going to get bonus points for clearances and blocks. It didn't work at all. But having your team be 15 deep works. Actually works. Like works if you good. Just get a nailed central midfielder who's 5 million, like he has a role in teams. That's all they need to do. It's so much more fun. As for other guys on pens.
Other guys on pens, yeah.
Well, we've talked about Jorginho a bit. As just being like, he's 6, nailed on pens. Like, he could just get a pen, and like, that makes it worth it. He's cheap, just like, sort of an enabler.
Germany's maybe a Gundogan or Cruz is interesting. I mean, they're both cheap. You know, which one takes, I don't know, but.
Right.
You know, they play France first, so maybe, you know, not one for there. But, you know, that's an interesting one, I think.
Right, definitely. Off the top of my head, that's kind of it.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not including the fucking awful teams, like, because you don't want a player on their team.
Yeah. Ramos.
Rip.
What do you think
Is
about...
Morata gonna take
I'm
pens?
Sorry. That's what I was... meant. What do you think about Morata compared to Ferran?
I haven't thought about it.
Okay, so think
honest.
About that.
But I need
by Thursday.
I need to pocket that and think about that.
Because I kind of feel like Morata might be just like better. It's only a million more.
Yeah, only
just
a
like
million
getting,
more is like
he's obviously a worse player, but just receiving the chances, like I'm just like. And then I think the other
is there
big
a
decision
world
is
where Morata's not the starting
instead
striker.
Of Moreno? I don't think so. He's been playing him. I think Moreno will probably like get the third game when they're gone already.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing too that we need to decide is that, you know, the third day is tough with England, Croatia, if we're going to swerve that one, right? And then Austria have North Macedonia, like, which is a good fixture.
The third day is England, Czech Republic.
The third match day one, game day three. Oh, fucking
God, the terminology is so fucking confusing.
Netherlands, Ukraine, which, you know, we've been obviously down in Netherlands, but, like, are we going to be able to talk ourselves into an Austrian cap there against North Macedonia over, like, Memphis? Like, maybe we're going to just need to do that.
Yeah, we might just go Memphis. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we need to figure that one out.
Because that, like we said earlier, that feels like an open game, right? And it's Netherlands and they're home and.
Yeah. He could bring, pan in a goal. Like, I could see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So maybe we're just going to need to spend some time, you know, rejiggering our.
I think
our
we are. That's why I wanted to start with chips and we did, is because that changes our structure of everything. And now that we know that, we can like move forward just looking at match day one fixtures only. So I recommend listeners do the same. Figure out your chip strategy, what you think looks good, where you think, you know, you can exploit the fixtures in the best way, and then you'll begin your journey. And we're going to do a Patreon pod on Thursday before it starts, and then we're just going to pod throughout the tournament. There's no days off. Yeah. So we're just going to do what we can. And
yeah. I mean, we're used to that anyway.
Yeah, we're just fucking grinders. We did get an ass slap, an anus slap, a new Patreon sign up, Third Shift Drifter. Guess that's your name. Get in there, baby. Thanks for signing up.
What about the return of the Mac over there? We got Mr. Hugo back.
Well, Hugo is just, he got like a round of applause as he entered Discord. Everyone's like, oh, welcome back.
No, I left. We should fucking freeze him out until he pays past dues. He has a lot of past dues to pay.
Does he?
Fucking Hugo. Yeah, well, he fucked off and then he came back. We should be like, if you leave and then you come back, you have to pay the interim.
Backdate it. Like, okay, you left. I screenshotted you 8 months ago.
You're being audited. No, it's a joke, dude. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Euros is fun. Honestly, you know, fuck us. Like, no one gives a shit about our pod or things that happen in the summer, but Euros is really fun. And if you want to talk about Euros with people, it's as good a place as you'll find, I think.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, like, today was day one of me looking at shit.
That's not a selling point, because I've been on chatting for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're different people. Now I'm in. And I'm in. But when I take a break, I'm out. I don't even check my fucking phone. I'm just out. I respond to you at like 5 a.m. You text me like, hey, can you look at this email? I respond at 5 a.m. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. That's it, bro. Any last words?
Well, we'll see each other tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Check us out at fmlfield.com, follow us on Twitter at fmlfield, subscribe to fmlfield.com/fmlfield, subscribe, rate, review, do.